The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
This morning at HQ, we have someone that is very, 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 very special. He's my brother and my friend, and he's not a stranger here. He's been a blessing to us over the years, amazingly. We've come a long way together. I mean, with his family, his wife, it's also an amazing blessing to my family. I mean, and the children, it's just a blessing to have them. And we trust God that today is going to be special. So let's introduce our guest speaker today.
A lonely, difficult road that is supposed to lead to your destination can kill you unless God helps you. If it was easy to escape, nobody will be in any trouble anymore. Nobody. If it was easy to get out of the mess that you are in, you will have gotten out immediately. Sooner than later, every one of us will get to a point when we realize that unless God helps us in a particular manner, we are finished. The narrow quality of the way of escape means that that road cannot take a lot of baggage. There are some tough decisions you need to make, some tough actions you need to take. It's important to know the markers of the way of escape so that you will not fall to the deception of the devil and so that you can also take the way. The way of escape requires help from above.
Pastor Olushola Adewale is a teacher of the Word of God. He is the pastor of the New Springs Parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God at Maryland, Ikeja. He believes that anyone can reach any height as long as they walk right with God. God has given him an assignment to preach the message of personal excellence and make disciples of Christ out of everyone he comes into contact with. He is happily married to the love of his life, Pastor Omawumi Adewale, and they are blessed with children.
So let's put our hands together and be on our feet as we give a dear fit welcome to Pastor Olusola Adewale. Let's keep clapping.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. You know, the person I'm asking you to praise is the one who had a choice to decide whether you will live today or not. And he chose you in spite of your imperfections. Just go ahead, put your hands together, and do what the psalmist teaches us. He said, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to be here always. I love it here. And but for time and distance, I'll be coming for your third service. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Apostle Femi. And thank you to our First Lady. And thank you to all the pastors in the house. Pastor Bemi, thank you for the introduction. Pastor Joyce, I got it, right? My person, we understand. And Pastor Esther, am I correct? Yes. And of course, my dear friend for many years, Pastor Kule. Amen. You know, I have a very interesting view of church. And I know that one day I will be proved right. I don't think that the church that God ordained or designed was supposed to be a place where we just go dressed up and we're looking very cool, like everything is okay, you know. Some people come to church and for them that's like the major highlight of their day, right? You know, when you are dispersing and going home, there's nobody they're going to meet at home. Home is a reminder of something they don't want to be. I have been there before. There was a season of my life where I used to go to church.
more than the pastor of the church. Because I needed to be in church to have some joy, to have somebody to be my friend. And I've been there more than once, but that's the only one I'll tell you today. So I want you to please go around and just look for about 5 people, and be gracious. You know, some people, nobody has hugged them this week. Oh. Nobody has hugged them this week. Give someone a hug. I know you're a child of God, you know. Give somebody a high five and say, how's it going? Yes. God is in your story. Ushers, it's okay to greet each other too. Ushers, don't be like that. Ushers, it's okay. Amen. And then you may please be seated. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. So you like doing it? Keep doing it regularly. Amen. You know, in church, people tend to greet their friends. You know, so greet different people after service. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of life and health. We do not take these blessings for granted at all. We thank you for your love for us. We ask that in this second worship experience, you would even do much more than you did in the first service. Lord, I ask that you send your word of encouragement to someone. I ask that you send your light to someone's darkness. Send your word of hope to someone who is in despair. Send your healing word to someone who is brokenhearted, O Lord. And just glorify your name. Save the lost among us today. Restore the backslider. And just help us, Heavenly Father, to experience you in a fresh new way. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. In the first service, you know, I brought a message titled God's New Stories. And it was a bit of a teaching, and I want to encourage you to, you know, get on your social media platform later and just watch it or just be a part of it, because I think it will help you to have the two experiences. But this second worship experience, I bring a message titled, When God Writes a New Story. When God writes a new story. When. and as I explained later in the first service, another word for stories, of course, is testimonies, right? When God writes a new testimony, right? So when God gives you a new... Anybody interested in a new testimony? It doesn't mean the one you have is bad, but you want something greater. You believe God can do more. He's going to, in Jesus' name. One of the common phrases, and where anchor verse is Acts 19:11, which they can put on the screen in the New King James Version, the story of Apostle Paul, how the Bible says God worked special, unusual miracles by his hands. And this was someone who, talking about miracles and Paul is like a contradiction in terms. Because Paul was an enemy of the church. And the story of his life will have ended on the road to Damascus as being a no future ambition person who went around looking for the people that he would throw in prison and people he would kill because they were Christians. What a pathetic life. Even though there are people who live like that who are just looking for how they're going to mess other people's life, they won't find you. I said, they won't find you in Jesus' name. Paul's life will have ended like that, but for the mercy and grace of God. And I pray that if any of us is also going around in circles and not making much progress, I pray that God's mercy will deliver us from that cycle in Jesus' name. One of the common phrases, we, how many Gen Z's are here or millennials? We young people, one of the phrases we use on the streets is God when, eh? God, when, see, you know, when somebody is doing well, say, God, when? But there are many people who ask that question, not because it's a Gen Z or millennial thing. In life, when we are going through troubled waters, the storms of life, you know, the delays of life. I mean, if you've ever been in Lekki traffic before, I'm sure you have said, when is this traffic? And then sometimes we go through afflictions, you know, some illness that just refuses to go away. A long dark night in a marriage, a long difficult time in business. I always like to tell the story, and I love telling stories of how God turns around stories. Amen? You know, there was a season of my life that I went through such a long period of difficulty that to cut my hair to pay the barber was a problem. And that's not 30 years ago. Maybe this was like in the early 2000s, or like 2005, 2006. You know, I ran a consulting practice and, you know, we did a lot of work for the financial sector, and then there was a bank capitalization. Solido. So most of the banks didn't even know whether they were going to survive. So the first things that went is the service providers. Those were really long nights, really, really long nights. Times when I would have to go to the school principal and say, we will pay. I don't want to ask you to raise hands, but you look so comfortable, you don't have things like that. You know, like you pay like 10 years in advance. If I tell you that sometimes when the tire of the car would go down, I would have to go to the guy who pumped tires across my estate and say, pump the tire, I'm coming. Then, I'm not sure it was up to 50 naira to pump a tire. And those times I would ask God, when? I trust you, I know that things are going to get better, but when? I'm sure you already know, as a well-taught church, that God is the controller of times and seasons. We may not know how or when God will write a new story for you, but because God does not change, we are confident that He will. So help me to tell someone next to you, God will change your story. He will give you that brand new story. Amen. From the life of Apostle Paul and the life of many other people in the Bible. In fact, when you read the Bible, it seems as if the Bible is full of, it's as if God deliberately put so many stories in the Bible of people who started in the darkest places. And then He changed their story. From Genesis, even the account of creation in Genesis 1 is an account of darkness, barrenness, emptiness, confusion, until God spoke. And so as God speaks to you today, I pray that that season will give way to light in Jesus' name. So from Paul's story and the life of many people, we can see the signs, one or two signs. I'm just going to share two because of our time. Two signs or so that tell us when God is about to write a new story for your life. And it's important to know this because the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. There are many people who have done irreversible damage to themselves, some sadly even taking their own lives, because they had gone through such a long night of difficulty that they didn't know that things were just going to change. And then they just quit. So sign number one, It's important to know these things because as long as you are on this side of eternity, the very best of us, the most anointed of us, the most holy of us, if there's any such thing, because the Bible says all our righteousness are like filthy rags, the most hardworking, the most diligent of us will go through one or two or three or multiple situations in our lives where you will say, God, when? Indeed, I read a quotation not too long ago that God never uses a man greatly if he has not wounded him greatly. You can Google it or ChatGPT, you find it there. God never uses a man unless he has first wounded him greatly. So sign number one, that the signs that a new story is about to break for you. Number one, when the night is darkest. It's God. It's just God. And we can't question him. When Paul was having a field day, breathing murder and threats against God's people, God left him alone. Imagine the people he was hunting. The Christian, the early church that Paul was hunting all over the place. You know, any of us been hunted before? May you never be hunted. I have been. You know, imagine the people that were victims of Apostle Paul. They were serving God. How can you be serving God and one man has a daily mission that if he doesn't kill you, he's going to throw you into prison? These people, they will, you know, sometimes they will gather in prayer meetings and they will be saying, God, when? When will our deliverance come? But God kept quiet. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 8, when it seemed as if Paul's night time also came, when he was struck down with darkness, with blindness, Paul himself became a candidate for a new story. Because as far as Paul was concerned, night fell. He was completely in darkness. Many times, my brothers and my sisters, God will allow us to hit rock bottom. Either by our own actions or by life circumstances. And God is God, you know. Some of us have received the gospel that says everything about Christianity and God and church is, you know, everything is going to be okay. Yes, it will be okay in the end. When you look back, you won't even remember those painful times. In Jesus' name. But many times in the journey of life, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in this world you will face what? Tribulation. God will allow things to happen to a family member, to your friend, to you. Why does God do that? He does that so that he can show his power and take all the glory. That's why he does that. God always wants all of us to get to that point where there's nowhere to look. In fact, the way one teacher taught about it is that when you are struck down and on your back, the only direction to look at is where? Is up. And so if you are here today in person or online and you are struck down and you are looking up, get ready for a miracle. Because God is about to move in your life in Jesus' name. Remember his friend, Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend. He used to visit the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha to eat. Because some of us think that, you know, when things, bad things happen to people, we think, oh, he must have sinned. God must be angry with him. Lazarus was the friend of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, verse 1 to 7, John 11, 1 to 7, I want us to read it. It's a classic story. It's a story you need to read. You need to know. John 11, verse 1 to 7. I read from the New King James Version. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you what?'" How many of us does Jesus love here? He loves you. Do you love him? Amen. Would you like to be affected like Lazarus? Okay, see the love now. "Lord, behold, whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the what?" For the what? Tell your neighbor, what you are going through is for the glory of God. Amen. It says that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus did what? Just for emphasis, he taught us in Bible college that when he repeats a statement, it's because it's important. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick," isn't this a contradiction? So God loved Shola. Then Shola needed a desperate miracle. Then when Jesus heard that he needed a desperate life-changing miracle, he delayed two more. By this time, some of us will have stopped coming to church. You know, "I'm not feeling well. Tell the pastors, tell Pastor Gbemi and Pastor Joy that I'm not feeling well." Service over, nobody. Monday, no call. Tuesday, no call. There's no love in that church. Now, this is the one whose name is Love himself. He stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then, after he said to the disciples, "Let us go to the Judea again," you will notice that they didn't say he was doing anything there. He was probably just chilling. When God wants to write a new story for you, he will sometimes allow you to extinguish, to be completely empty. You are done. Remember Peter in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says he had fished all night. He said it himself. "I fished all night and caught nothing." In fact, Jesus came just as Peter was washing his net to say, "Nothing is happening today." Then Jesus showed up. I have a deep conviction in me that there's someone in this auditorium today that God is about to show up for. Do you know that God did it for his own son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as well? In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, 36 to 39, Matthew 26, 36 to 39, Jesus Christ prayed the kind of prayer I know you pray here. He prayed that this cup of suffering will pass. In fact, the Bible says he prayed so much that his sweat became like blood. But God didn't answer him. Silence in heaven. In fact, the only thing that God did, was to send an angel to strengthen him, like he sent me to strengthen somebody today. God did not answer. On the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Somebody would call that, you know, emotional blackmail. You know, if you know, you know, little babies, when they want to mess up their mothers completely, you know, when they cry that, you know, that loud shrill, oh! You know, most mothers, all mothers just go, wow, what's happening? Jesus Christ said, why are you forsaking me? Still, God kept quiet. He didn't say a word. But when the world thought it was over, and the tomb was sealed, the chapter was closed. They sealed the tomb. Huge stone. Done. Shola is finished. Tolu is done. On the third day, the power of resurrection was activated. And Jesus rose from the dead. And what had been an object of shame and our abandonment became the center of celebration that Jesus is risen. I believe, and you know, God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I believe that God did not send this word in vain. I am convinced that there is someone listening to this message. They thought your own is finished. They thought God is done with you. Even you think that you are finished. But I came to tell you today, you are rising. Yeah. I say you are rising. Yeah. Not because of me. Not because I said so, but because that is how God works. That is the nature of God. That when they say the valley is full of dry bones, out of that valley of dry bones, it is God's character to raise a mighty standing army. In that your life where nobody's expecting much to happen, I prophesy to you today, you will arise a mighty standing army in the name of Jesus. God is turning your story of defeat, of darkness, is turning it into a great story of victory, of resurrection, of a brand new light to bring great glory to his name in the name of Jesus. God changes the story when the night is darkest. I have seen it happen so much, so many times. I have a friend who is the group CEO of one of the biggest organizations in Nigeria. He lost his job in another financial institution in a power tussle. Just go to work one day and go and bring your resignation. Like, how? What I was expecting was a promotion. And for 3-4 years, this my friend, it was so bad. At a point in time, he decided that what he would do is to be distributing tracts in broad daylight in Lekki. But sometime early this year or late last year, things began to happen. Today in our nation, you cannot find 3 people in that sector more senior to him. Because the story changed. There's no connection. For 4 years or more, it was finished. So they thought. In fact, the person who fired him cannot stand where he's standing today. I want somebody here to know that this is God's style. It is God's style. He does it to show that he is God alone. That your circumstance is not your God. That Nigeria is not your God. That your mistake is not your God. That the wrong turn you took is not your God. That he is God alone. And his purpose for your life will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Number 2, I told you just 2. God writes a new story when you surrender totally. There are 2 sides of the same coin. You see, Paul's story was going from bad to worse. When Acts chapter 9 verse 6, Acts 9, 6, he said something that I want you to consider saying whenever you find yourself in a dark place. He says, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" That was what we call the inflection point, the turning point for Paul. You need to get to a point where you realize that all that you have been trying is not working. All the counsel you've been getting, okay, thank you, everybody, I love you. God, what do you want me to do? In Matthew 26, verse 42, Matthew 26, 42, Jesus himself said so. He says, if this cup of suffering cannot pass unless I drink it, that's when he began to shift. So then let your will be, that's surrender. There are many of us who desperately need a new story, but we are still struggling with God on how he must do it. And because God is God and God is love, it knows that it is in your interest that you surrender to his will rather than for him to surrender to your will. It is in your own best interest that it is the perfect will of God that is done. Some of us are still telling God, this is my own specs. You want to get married, God, it must be like this. I'm from this part of the country. Let my spouse be from this, you know, this part of the country. Let him have, you know, this particular height or this particular body shape or this bank balance. I may have told you this story before. As a younger pastor, a member of our church asked me to come and pray over his property in Lekki here. He had built, I think, 16 apartments. This was old Lekki, many years ago. And then he couldn't let it for a long time. And obviously, he had the banks to answer to. And so we went to dedicate the place. And I said, let's go to the top apartment. We went there. I prayed. You know, we were leaving. And I just felt, you know, I just felt an inspiration to ask him that, you know, are there any prejudices? Are there any hang-ups you have about, you know, are you discriminating? And he said, so there are some people from certain tribe that he doesn't want to bring into this place because he will have issues. And I told him what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me, which was remove those prejudices. Just, you know, I told him, you know, I said, you know, I feel God wants you to drop those things. You wouldn't believe it. I'm not sure it was up to a week when he came to church and said, Pastor, see the check. Today, if you are desperate for a new story, I appeal to you to surrender the will to Jesus. And particularly in this season where we live in, I mean, I know it's kind of reducing now, where everybody wants to jackpa. Just make sure that you tell God, whatever you do with me is all right. If you want me to thrive here, make it plain. If you want me to thrive in Ghana, it's okay. Tell God this morning, whatever you do with me is what? It's okay. The Bible says he is the potter, we are the clay. Just take the wheel, Lord. Even Jesus himself did not get a new lease of life until he gave up the ghost. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 11. Philippians 3, 4 to 11. Paul thought about it. They said, let this man be you that was in Christ Jesus, who had everything equal with God, but he said, you know, he gave it all up. He humbled himself, the Bible says, up to the point of death. Then God gave him a name that is above every name. At least twice in my life, I have been in that dark place that I spoke about in point number one. You know, a friend of mine in America, an American woman, when I was sticking to her sometime, she was in a house fellowship when we lived there, she said, you seem to have a penchant for getting into trouble. So hopefully you will stop now. But by the grace of God, I have discovered that the secret, not that I want to keep getting into trouble, but I have discovered that the secret of God doing a new thing in your life is to say, God, okay, take it. I give it to you. I just give it to you. I'm going to take each day as it comes. And God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we may ask or imagine. My brothers and sisters, God is wonderful, oh. God is good, oh. God is, as I said to them in the first experience, God is so gracious. God is not man. God is so kind. God is so merciful. He's so loving. He's generous. He's generous. I mean, you know the story of my friend David. David committed adultery, killed the husband of the woman. And then God sent a prophet to him, Nathan, to say, your own is finished. We've caught you. David said, even me, I know my own is finished. I'm sorry. I repent. God said, even I already forgive you. He didn't have to fast. He didn't have to kill himself. God said, I forgive you. I forgive you. The son that was born out of that, David said, I surrender him to you. Let him go. And so the boy died. And guess the son that now came out of the same David. Tell your neighbor, make sure you make it to heaven. Guess the son that now came out of David and Bathsheba's tryst. No other than Solomon. And guess the name that God calls Solomon. Jedidiah, my beloved. Which kind of God does that one? Is it that God forgot about where Bathsheba came from or Uriah's family? And God said, no, Solomon, I love you. And he loved Solomon like no man's business. Tell your neighbor, let go, let God. If someone listened to this message in person or online, God is ready to write a new story in your life. He's ready. But you are the one delaying him. You're the one. He wants you to surrender his love to his love. He wants you to trust that he's got your back. And as I begin to bring this to a close, are you at your wit's end right now? Does it appear as if all hope is lost? That's God's perfect scenario. That's the standard temperature and pressure that God likes. When you know, when by the time he does it, you will not be able to say it is the pastor or is the apostle or is the president. No. He wants you to know that this is just God. But what does he want from you? He wants total surrender. For somebody here, surrender means, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I just surrender my life to Jesus. Do with me what you please. But for another set of us who have given our lives to Jesus Christ, surrender means letting God's will be done. Even if you don't like it, letting go of that person who has offended you. letting go of that money that they owe you and saying, let it go. Remember, I told you, God is ready. He's set. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are right after him. God is ready. But he said to me, there are some of us who are delaying him. What's your decision? Would you keep delaying him, or are you going to surrender to him? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Father. I want you to meditate for just 30 seconds over what you have heard today. Two conditions must be in place. God, this is too much. I'm done. I'm at my wit's end. I've hit rock bottom. There's no help anywhere else. No hope. Condition number one. Condition number two, which makes it sufficient, is, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I want to make two calls again as we bring the service, the word message to a close. If you are here this morning you've heard the message, you need your own when to be now. But you know you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. So maybe you have, but you've strayed away from him. Maybe you've gone your own way and you're saying, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I think I need God now. I need his help now. Would you please just stand on your feet? I'd like to pray with you. Just stand quickly. Stand. Just stand on your feet. I'm going to make the call one more time because of our time, and then we're going to take the second call, which is just for all of us to pray. If you are here this morning and you are saying, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I want to give my life to Jesus so that he can make a better deal of my life than I am doing. Maybe you've given your life to him before, or maybe you have not, and you just want to rededicate your life to him. I want you to please stand on your feet. And I'm asking you to stand because, God bless you, sir. If you are online also, you can just stand in front of your screen or in front of your phone. God sees you. God sees you. Just stand. 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 Say, Lord, I realize that I cannot do a better job of my life than you can. You made me. And so I want to give my life to you today. Whatever you make of me is all right. Would you please stand? Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless you. Now I'm sure the ushers have seen the decision for Christ. I'm sure you know where he's seated. So the whole idea is, you know, we don't need to bring him forward. Will we all please stand on our feet? There is an area of your life where you need God to write a new story. And it has dragged for a long time. And God is saying to you, you need to surrender certain things. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know. I want you to lift up your voice to the Almighty God. And if you don't mind, just lift up your hands in surrender to him and just say, Father, I know you love me. And I know you have great plans for my life. And so I surrender my will to yours. I surrender my will totally to you, Lord. Give me the grace to stay surrendered. Go ahead, talk to him. Go ahead, talk to him. Talk to him for another 1 minute. Go ahead, talk to him. Talk to him.
Come on, keep surrendering. Tell him, I surrender to you, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. I give it all to you today. I lay it at your feet, Jesus. I'm tired of doing it by myself, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. I empty myself before you. I empty myself before you. And I ask, Lord, that you take care of it and take care of me. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus.